Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota, daf Yud Tes, the beginning of Be'ezras Hashem, the third parak of Masechta Sota. We are holding on daf Yud Tes, Amud Aleph, at the beginning of the parak. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Le'ashalom, and it's also sponsored by Eliza and Aaron Hertz and family, in memory of Eliza's father, Judge Noach, dear Zichron Levracha, a dear friend of our shul, Noach Ben Meshul Mishraga, whose third yard site was yesterday, his neshama shav and aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for sponsoring the daf. We are holding, as I said, at the beginning of the third parak, and the Mishnah is going to talk about how the mincha sota was brought, meaning we've already described in the earlier prakim that bringing the sota to the kohen in the Beis HaMikdash and the dinim of putting the offer in the mayim and the writing of the Megillah and the kohen being mashbiah, the woman. So now we move on to the discussion of how they actually brought the Karban Mincha. The Gemara is going to discuss how we know that the Bailim also participate in the Tanufa. If you read the Pesukim about the Mincha Sota, it sounds like only the Kohen does the Tanufa, does the waving of the Sota. The Gemara is going to, of the Mincha. The Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas. There's a Machlokas in our Mishnah, whether HaKravas HaMincha or the drinking, which one comes first. So the Gemara is going to try to explain that Machlokas, what it's based on. Why would you think that the HaKravas HaMincha comes before the Hashaka? Why would you think the Hashaka comes before the Hakravas HaMincha? And it turns out that there are three separate psukim in the Torah that describe vihishka, that describe giving the woman to drink. So it really revolves around how we learn those three psukim, and the Gemara is going to explain how we derive, how each Tana, three different Shittos and Tanaim, how each of them explain those three psukim in the Torah. Then, on the bottom of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to clarify whether Rabbi Akiva holds that we're mashko a woman against her will. Meaning, what if a woman says, I refuse to drink? So do we shove it down her throat, or do we say, well, wait a second, what's the point of the drinking of the mesota? It's to see if she's guilty or not. If she refuses to drink, she's guilty, right? Meaning it already did its job just by having her refuse to drink. So we're going to see machlokas tanaim and a stira, a double stira within Shitas Rabbi Akiva, and we'll resolve those stiras. And we'll see if we get to it today, but on the top of Chaf Amud Aleph, before the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss what if she very calmly refuses to drink? Does she still have the right to change her mind? Meaning, do we view a calm refusal to drink as an admission of guilt? And once she admits that she's guilty, well, then she's not going to be allowed to drink the Mesota afterwards. So let's begin at the beginning of the parak on Daf Yotas Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah describes how they would bring the Mincha Sota. They would take the Karban Mincha from the Kfifa Mitzvahs. He would take the Karban Mincha from the Kfifa Mitzvahs, from this wicker basket. Wait a second, who is he? Who's the one that's taking? So Rashi says one word, Habal, that it's the Baal that does the taking, and that's what Toshan says as well. However, Tos quotes Yerushalmi that no, it's not the Baal, it's the Kohen that takes the Mincha from the Kfifa Mitzvahs. And the Keren Aruch says that that's Shitas HaRambam as well in Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Gimel. And the Keren Aruch points out, it seems to be the Shita of the Chumash. Pasuk says, "V'lokach haKohen miyada isha es minchas haknaos ve'inav es mincha l'vnei Hashem v'ikrav osal mizbeach." So it sounds like it's talking about the Kohen. So the Torah haknaos says, "How is Rashi going to read the pasuk? He's got to fit in with the pasuk as well." And the pasuk identifies the Kohen, so he says, "No, v'lokach haKohen is not talking about the taking of the korban mincha from the woman. It's talking about the tenufa that he does." Some sort of action in order to engage in the waving of the Karban Mincha. But the initial taking that we're talking about over here is by the Baal in the Netziv in Merome Sada. He says, and why would Rashi say the Baal? Meaning, okay, you could be mitarets how it might fit the Pasuk, but what would motivate Rashi to say that it's the Baal? So he says he's medayik from the Hemshech of the Mishnah, because the Hemshech of the Mishnah says, V'kohen maniach yado. Sounds like that's where the Kohen enters the scene, that up until this point the Kohen hadn't been there yet. So okay, so somebody, either the Baal according to Rashi, or the Kohen according to Tosfos and the Rambam, takes the Mincha from the Kfifa Mitzvahs, v'nosno l'toch kli shareis, and puts it into a kli shareis in order to be mekadesh the Mincha. And then v'nosna al yada, and then they put, while it's in the klisha reis. They put it on her hand to fulfill the mitzvah of hanaf. I mean, they put it in her hands. The kohen maniach yado mitachteh umenifa, and the kohen puts his hands under her hands, and together the kohen and the woman wave the minchas sota. Now we had said nosel l'tol klisha reis. They put it in a klisha reis. The kiddush Rashi points out the kiddush hamishnah amincha b'tol klisha reis doesn't have to be dafka by a kohen. A kohen by menachos, a kohen only has to do mikmitza ve'elach. From the time of the kmitza and on, every avoda is done by the kohen. But the kiddush hamincha b'klisha reis and the yitzika and the belila, all of that is kosher even with the zar. So it doesn't have to be that nosel l'tol klisha reis is really the kohen. In the Yerushalmi, though, it says that the kohen is nosel b'klisha reis. Well, why? If the halacha is by korban mincha only mikmitza ve'elach, why would the Yerushalmi says that it's the kohen that puts it in klisha reis? So Tosfos writes that the Yerushalmi knows that it would be kosher if it's done with the zar, but since the lekichas hamincha miyada isha was done al yedei kohen, since the kohen was the one, after all, that's what Tosfos was mechiyach from the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi holds that first line in the Mishnah hayinotel was the kohen. So since the kohen's already involved, so he's the one that's makdish it in the klisha reis as well. So good. So now the kohen takes it, he puts it in klisha reis. They put the klisha reis in the woman's hand, and the kohen and the isha together are mainif. They together are wave the korban mincha. The Gemara is going to derive from Psukim how I know that both of them have to be involved in the waving, both the kohen and the bailim. And in this case, the bailim is the isha. Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi that asks the obvious question: is this appropriate that the kohen is going to be touching the woman's hands as they're waving the mincha? It seems to be a violation of an isur negiyah. They're not allowed to be. He's not allowed to be touching an ishus ish. He's holding her hands as they're waving the karban mincha. So Tos quotes two teruts. Number one, he says that maybe they bring a very elderly kohen who's unlikely to have hirhurim. So meaning it's not that there's a din in negiyah. The din is negiyah b'derech taiva. That if the person experiences some sense of taiva, but if there's absolutely no sense of taiva in the negiyah, then it's not an isur. There's no isur called negiyah. There's an isur called negiyah b'derech taiva. So there's no, it would be no problem if he was a zaken and he had no yetzer hara for such things. Another possibility, says Tosfos, is that it took like 2 seconds. So even if it was a young kohen, we're not choshesh for such a short amount of time, for such a quick thing, that it's going to arouse a yetzer hara. There's a major discussion in Poskim whether a man is allowed to shake a woman's hand in a business context. So many of the poskim are machmir that it can't be done even in a business context, even if it's just a handshake where it doesn't seem to be a derech taiva kind of interaction. Rav Willick Shlita used to say that he's mekel, but he said for those who are mekel, it should be a quick, brisk handshake. Why a quick, brisk handshake? So he always points out, because that's this Yerushalmi, that if it's for a very short period of time, it doesn't allow for the Yetzer Hara, which is a business-like handshake anyway, right? If you go in a business meeting and you start holding the person's hands like you're a Rebbe or whatever, so then it's not going to play out well. So a quick, brisk handshake is the way that it's supposed to be done. So the Karbon Eidah explains that B'Sha Muetas, you're not going to really have a Yetzer Hara. There's a tshuva, and the tshuva is Beis Yehuda, and Ebenezer Simon Laman Gimel, he says it's more than just the fact that it's quick, because we can't just be matir people to touch women quickly. It has to be more than that. He says it's context also. They're in the Azara. Everybody is watching. What she's being judged for is sexual immorality. It's not a likely place where he's going to develop some sort of taiva. The Ritva writes in the name of the Yerushalmi that the Kohen puts his hands under the Yali Isha. The Ritva writes b'samuch, that it doesn't mean that he touches. So there's a third answer. He doesn't actually touch her. He puts his hand somewhere else on the kli, right near where her hands are on the kli, but not that he actually touches the kli. Not that he actually touches her hands. He's touching the kli. The Yad HaIsha is not going to be chotzeitz between the Yad HaKohen and the Kli. That's how Tosfos writes as well. That's what Tosfos seems to indicate in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis as well. Tosfos Rosh writes in the name of Rashi that the Tenufa of the Kohen, that by the Tenufa of the Kohen, Chatzitza is not going to passel because the Iker Tenufa is Bebaylim. So, okay, but that's the discussion over here of how exactly do you pull this off without the Kohen touching the woman, or without violating some sort of isser by touching the woman. So again, three basic approaches. Either you get a Kohen who's a Zaken, who's not going to have a Yetzirah, or it's a Shah Muetas, and when you add in the context, very unlikely that there's going to be a Yetzirah, or he doesn't actually touch her. He only touches the Kli. He just puts his hands near where her hands are. Okay, so the Mishnah continues. Heinif, so together they are Meinif the Mincha, they wave the Mincha. Vihigish, and then the Kohen brings the Mincha to the Keren Maravis Dromis of the Mizbeach. Remember, we already discussed that they bring the Mincha to the Keren Maravis Dromis, but the actual contents of the Kli don't have to touch the Keren Maravis Dromis. They don't dump it onto the Keren Maravis Dromis. It's just in a Kli by the Keren Maravis Dromis. Kamatz, then the Kohen takes a kamitza from the Karban Mincha. There's a discussion in Maseches Menachos. Is there a shear for a minimum shear of how much he has to get in his kamitza? What if he has a very small hand? So the Rambam Paskin's got to be at least Shnei Zesim, that you need Shnei Kazesim, which maybe tells you something about the shear of a Kazayas, that if in three fingers on the average hand, you could fit Shnei Zesim. So maybe a Zayas is not as gigantic as in the Debi Huda and others suggest. Okay, but that's the Rambam Shita Shnei Zesim. So kamatz vihiktir, and then he's maktir the kometz, just the part that he takes out with the kamitza, he burns on the mizbech, vashar nechal kohanim, and then the shirayim of the mincha, that gets eaten by kohanim, and we already learned that they can make nice recipes with it, they could add devash, and they could add yayin, they could put nice things in it, they just can't allow it to become chametz, that's their only limitation. So now the Gemara says, the Mishnah says rather, when would they be mashka the sota in relation to the bringing of the karb mincha? So according to the Chamim, they would take the Karban Mincha from the Kfifa, put it in a Kli Shares, and then Hayamashka Vacharkach Makreves Minchasa. At that point, they'd be Mashka her the Mayim, and only then they'd be Makrev the Mincha. They would take the Kemitza and burn on the Mizbech, even though we already just discussed how they would burn the Kemitza on the Mizbech. The Gemara is going to deal with that. How can you just discuss the whole thing and then say, oh, Hayamashka Vacharkach Makrev? We just learned about the Hakrava. Sounds like the Hakrava already happened. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Makrevis Minchasa Vacharkach Hayamashka. That first they would be Makrev the Mincha, they would be Makdir, the Kometz, and all of that, and then they'd be Mashke Shenemar, because after the Haktaras HaMincha, it says, V'achar Yashke Esiisha Esamayim. So in Hishkav, Achar Kachigrav Minchasa Ksheira, but Rabbi Shimon says, if they did it in the reverse order and they gave her to drink too early before they were makrav the mincha, that's kosher as well. That's going to work as well. So that's the machlokas tanoim, whether the mashke v'achar makrav or makrav v'achar kach mashke. But everyone agrees that if they were mashke v'achar makrav, that it's for sure going to be kosher. So first things first, says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Yoshia didore. Rabbi Lozer said to Rabbi Yoshia of his generation, lo tesev akareich adem afarshat loch loham. Do not sit on your feet until you explain this matter to me. How do we know the Mincha Sota requires a Tenufa? So just a couple of technical points in the phrasing of this. We'll get to the question itself. But before we even get to the question itself, he's talking to who? Rabbi Yoshia. No, not just Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia de Dore. The Rabbi Yoshia of his generation. What does that mean? How many Rabbi Yoshias were there? Why? You know, there are a lot of names that repeat themselves in Shas, where there were people in different generations that had the same name. We very rarely say Didare. The Tosas always figures it out. So, this one lived in Bisman Beis HaMikdash, and this one didn't. And Tosas always tries to figure it out. But it very rarely in the Gemara says Didare. Why does it say Didare? So Rashi writes, because in the generation of Rabbi El-Ozar, the Amora, Rabbi Yoshia, the Tana, was still alive. Rabbi Yoshia the Tana was a bar plukta of Rabbi Yonah's son, but it would have been extremely disrespectful for Rabbi Elazar the Amora to talk to Rabbi Yoshia the Tana in such a way that don't sit down until you explain this to me. So it couldn't be that he was talking to him. He must have been talking to a contemporary, to an Amora named Rabbi Yoshia, not Rabbi Yoshia the Tana. So that's why the Gemara wants to emphasize that you shouldn't be choshed that Rabbi Elazar was being disrespectful. Second issue over here, what kind of phrase is this? Lo tesev akarech. Don't sit on your feet. Most people don't sit on their feet. He wasn't going to sit on his feet. What is that even about? What does that mean? So the Ritva writes in Masachas Makos, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's really an abbreviation. He's telling him two things. It's lo tesev, don't sit. Rather, Amon al Karech, you should stay standing on your feet, meaning stay on your feet, don't sit down at all. So that's how the Ritva understands that expression comes up all over Shas, but the Ritva in Makos says that's what it means all over Shas. That doesn't mean to sit on the feet, it means don't sit at all, rather remain standing. In the Mincha Chareva, he has an interesting take on it. He says that it could be based on what the Gemara says in Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph, that Rava Amar Rakos Mu'umad V'Kashos Miyushav, that when you're dealing with easier halachos, you can handle them even while you're standing. But more difficult halachos, you have to analyze while sitting down, so you're able to focus all your energy on the learning. So he wanted him to know that the question I'm about to ask you is not like this complicated question. I'm just asking where we learn tenufa from. It's a pretty pashut question. So he was giving him a heads up that I'm not going to challenge you with a difficult question. So some suggest that loteshe v'karech means that you shouldn't sit on the place where, even if you don't go somewhere else, on the place where your feet are right now. Or karech may relate to like kirei amita, that a bed has legs. So he's saying don't sit on the chair with the legs or something like that. Okay, but the Ritva I think is probably the pashtos that don't sit down, rather stay standing. Because here's my simple shaila for you: how do I know mincha sota requires tenufa? So says Gemara, that's a strange question. Minolan vehenif ksivba. Open up a chumash. It says v'lakachoyin miyad yishas mincha saknos vehenif as a mincha lefnei Hashem. So what do you mean? What do you know? So it says, no. What he meant to ask, what Rabbi Elazar meant to ask is, b'baylim minolan. How do I know that the baylim does the tenufa of mincha sota? So he says, oh, asya yad yad mishlamim. We learn in gzera shava yad yad from the carbon shlamim. The tenufa of there's a tenufa by carbon shlamim as well of the chaz of ashok and the emurim of the carbon shlamim. Ksiv hachabay mincha sota. It says v'lachacha kohen miyad ha'isha uksiv hasam. And by the carbon shlamim it says yadav to Vienna. So we learn makan just like legabe the sota. The tenufa is al yadei kohen because it says beferush in the pasuk that it's a kohen safla alon. So by the carbon shalom also we learn that tenufa has to be kohen, that it's a kohen that does it umala alon. And just like by the carbon shalomim it says bailim, the pasuk is clear that it's done by the bailim because it says yadav to Vienna and it's talking about tenufa and that pasuk is about the bailim safkan. So to by sota we see bailim, that there's a requirement that the tenufa be done by the bailim. Haketzad, how could a tenufa be done? How is the tenufa done by both, whether it be by the sota or by the shlamim? How is it done with the bailim and the kohen at the same time? Maniach yado tachas yidei bailim umeinif. The kohen puts his hands underneath the bailim's hands. In the case of the sota, it was complicated. We had that tosos that discussed how you do it because it's a woman, but he'd put his hands underneath the bailim's hands, and together they would be meinif. They would be meinif the karban. In Gur Aryeh. He writes that, how do I know that it's Meniach Yado Tachas Yad Bailim? Maybe it's Meniach Yad Bailim Tachas Yado. Meaning all you see from the two psukim, you have two even psukim, one by Shlomim that talks about Bailim, one by Sota that talks about Kohen. Ah, so it must be both, right? When you don't have a Kasva Shlishi, you have a Kriya Beinayim to tell me which one to follow. So it must be it's both. A lot of examples of that in this Masechta of two psukim that say different things. Right? Does the water go in first? Does the offer go in first? A lot of different examples of that. But so it must be that it's telling me both. So the, says Maral, how do I know that it's the Yad Kohen, Tachas Yad HaBailim, and not that it's Maniach Bailim, Tachas Yad HaKohen. So he says, because the Pasuk says, Yadav to Vienna, so it sounds like that the Chalavim are put directly on the Yad HaBailim. So it's got to be that the Yad Kohen is Milamata. He says, furthermore, the Tanufa has to be Al Yadei the Kohen, because the Tanufa is an Avoda. So the Kohen needs to be taking the lead in the Tanufa. Whoever's hands are on the bottom is more likely to be the one that's, you know, driving the tanufa, because he's the one that's applying the force. Otherwise, if the person whose hands were on top were really the one that was doing the tanufa, the other person's hands might lag behind and fall off. So it's the bottom hands are the ones that are doing the tanufa. So it's more likely that the bottom hands are the Kohen's hands, and he's the one that's really performing the action of the tanufa, and the Bailim's hands are just stuck in between the Kli and the Kohen's hands as he's doing it. Okay, so now we had said in the Mishnah, so most of the daf is going to be about this topic. Which came first, the Hakrava or the Hashaka? So the Gemara brings the Gemara understands that the Mishnah is writing this Seder HaKrava HaSamincha with Ashkas HaSotah. So Gemara says, well, wait a second. HaIkrava, we already said in the first part of the Mishnah, Higish, Kamat, Hiktir, that's already the whole HaKrava. And we had mentioned that she drinks yet. So how can we then say that after the Hashaka, only then your Makriv? We already went through the Akrava. Says Mara Hachi Kamar, Seder Menachas Ketzan. This is what the Mishnah is doing. It's telling us the entire Seder of the Korban Mincha itself, independent first of where the Hashaka fits in, just what you do with the Korban Mincha. Heinif, Higish, Kamat, Vihiktir, Vashar Nechalakoanim. Oh, and by the way, Ubashka Gufa, Pligi Rebishim Rabbanon. And where the Ashka fits in that process, oh, that's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon Savri Mashke V'Yachar Kach Makrivis Minchasa. The Rabbanon hold that somewhere in the middle over there, before you do the Hakrava, you got to be Mashke the Sota. And Rabbi Shimon Savri Makrivis Minchasa V'Yachar Kach Mashke. No, you do that whole process, you finish the Hakrava, and then you do the Ashkasa Sota Shneamar, because it says in the Pasuk, V'Yachar Yashke, that after you do the Mincha, only then are you Mashke the Sota. So then the Mishnah said, Vim Hishka V'achar Kachiv Krivis Minchasa Ksheira. If you did the Ashaka too early, before you did the Akrava, that's going to be kosher as well. So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that discusses how does each Tana know their Shita. Where did they get the idea from? That the Akrava should come first, that the Ashaka should come first, that P'tievet it works, even if it's done in the wrong order, according to Rabbi Shimon. So what's important to know over here, the Gemara is going to spell it out explicitly a little bit later, but what's important to know over here is that the Torah mentions Hashaka three times, and that's the source of the confusion. Because the first time it mentions Hashaka is before it mentions Hakrava, and the last two times are after. The Torah says, V'kosves ha'olos ha'ela ha'koin ba'sefer umacha el me'amarim v'hishka es ha'isha es me'amarim ha'ma'arim uvava mayim ha'marim l'marim. Right? It right away says, you got to be mashka the isha. And then it says, "V'lakach haKohen miyadi ishas minchas haknaos v'heinav es haMincha l'vnei Hashem v'hikriv osal mizbeach." Right. So right there, if you were to stop the parsha right there, it sounds like Hashaka, and then the Hashkaa, and then the Hakrava. But then it goes on to say, "V'kamet haKohen min haMincha es haskarasa v'hikter haMizbeach v'achar yashke es haIsha es haMayim." Then it says that they do the kmitza and the haktara, and afterwards, and it uses that word. It says V'achar. The other times it mentions Hashaka, just mentions that Hashaka's done, and it places it in a certain spot in the parsha, but it doesn't explicitly address timing. In the second time it says V'achar Yashka, that afterwards you're Mashka the Mayim. And then it says V'hishka Samayim, V'hishka Nitma V'timol Mal, V'hishka Vav, etc. That V'hishka Samayim again, the third time. So it's all about how to parse out those three mentions of the drinking. So Tan Rabbanan, V'hishka, the first time it says V'hishka, it already says after the Akhtar Samincha it says Vishka Samayim. So and afterwards it's the real Zman Chiyuv. So why would it say Vishka Seisha beforehand? Meaning it's more mistaver that the Hashaka is really afterwards. Because the Pasuk of Achar Yashka Seisha means after everything else in the Parsha. So it's very mistaver that the drinking is going to be
after the Karban Mincha. So why does it mention drinking already before the Karban Mincha? That's to tell me Shem Nimcha Ka Megillah Va Omeres Eini Shosa Ma'arinosa. That if a woman, if they already erase the Megillah and the woman refuses to drink, we force her to drink. We open up her mouth, we stick something in her mouth so she won't be able to close it, and we pour it down her throat. Umashkinosa Balkarcha. So that's why it says Hashka'a right after the Mechika Samegillah, to tell me that as soon as Mechika Samegillah happens, the Hashka'a is a done deal. It's going to happen. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, not that at that very moment we do it, but now you know that it will happen. So that's the first Hashka'a that's mentioned in the Parsha, according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, what in the Mishnah, we only had Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon, right? We didn't have Rabbi Akiva. So we're really introducing a new Tana over here. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Va'achar Yashka, when it says Va'achar Yashka, after the Hakrava, Matam Lomer, why does it have to say that? Velo Kvar Nemar, it already says in the next pasuk, in the third time it says Vihishka, that Vihishka Samayim. So I already see from there that the Hashka is after the Haktara. So why does it mention Va'achar Yashka? So Ella, from that pasuk we learn, Li'achar Kolamaisim Kulan Ha'amurin L'mayla, that after we're Mashpia the woman, she's Mekabel the Shavua, we write the Megillah, we erase the Megillah, we do the Haktara of the Mincha, only after we do all of those things are we Mashka the Isha. So it says Va'achar Yashka to say Va'achar everything, not just after the Karban Mincha. I already know that it's after the Karban Mincha. So Magid Shlosh Dvarim Ma'akvin Ba, and that really highlights for me that there are actually three things that need to, that are Ma'akiv, that must be done before your Mashke. Number one, Achlo Karav HaKometz. You need to do the Hakrava of the Kometz. You need to burn the Kometz of the Mincha and the Mizbech. Number two, Vachlo Nimcha Ka Megillah. You need to have already erased the Megillah in order to be Mashke the Sota. And number three, Vachlo Tekabel LeShmua. She needs to have been Kabel the Shavua that we impose upon her. So these three things. Wait a second. Achlo Karav HaKometz. The fact that you have to be Makrav the Kometz first before you Mashkeh her, that I get. That's Rabbi Shimon Tamei. Damar Makrav Zmilchas Avachach Mashkeh. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita in the Mishnah. That's consistent. That you got to do the whole Hakrav of the Karban, and only then after you Makrav the Kometz or you Mashkeh the Isha. That I have no problem with Rabbi Shimon highlighting that that's Ma'akev, that it's got to be done before you do the Ashkasa Sota. But does he really need to highlight, does the pasuk really need to highlight that you need to be mochik the Megillah before she drinks? If you weren't mochik the Megillah, what exactly are you giving her to drink? It only makes sense to give her to drink once you've been mochik the Megillah. There's nothing else to be mashker. So Amar Rav Ashi lo nitzrucha l'sherishumo nikur. That the only thing it's highlighted, of course you erased the Megillah, but what if it didn't fully erase? What if a roshim of the ksav is still recognizable on the Megillah? So then you can't be mashka the mayim anymore, and you're going to have to erase it. You can't be mashka the mayim yet. You're going to have to erase it again to the point that it's ein rishumo nikur. So that's what it's telling me. Of course you have to erase it before you mashka her, but we're highlighting you have to make sure that it's fully erased before you mashka her anything. Now the Gemara says, and the third thing that we said, the third thing that's makiv that you need to do before your mashka, Achlo to Kabbalah la Shavua, that she needs to be Makabal the Shavua. So the Chara, Mishnu de lo Shasya, Hamichtav Kasvila, that only the Hashka'a is Ma'akev, the Kabbalah Shavua is only Ma'akev the Hashka'a. So it sounds like you can't be Mashkar until she's Makabal the Shavua, but it sounds like they're allowed to write the Megillah before she's Makabal the Shavua. Meaning by highlighting that she can't drink it until she's Makabal the Shavua, it seems to suggest that you're allowed to make the Meham. You're allowed to write the parsha before she's mekabel the shvua. V'amar Rava, but didn't Rava tell us Megillah Sota shekasva kodem shetkabel the shvua lo asav lo klum, that you're not even allowed to write the parsha before she's mekabel the shvua? So it says Mar Yehi Nachinami kedin asva. That din is written shalol letzarech, that the ksiva also cannot be done before the Kabbalah Shavua. So obviously, if you can't write the Parsha before the Kabbalah Shavua, so obviously you can't be Mashke her before the Kabbalah Shavua. So Tveris Tzion tries to come up with a Hechitim so that the Gemara shouldn't have had to say Kedin Asva. Meaning maybe there taki is a Chiddush over here that she cannot drink before the Kabbalah Shavua. Aye, but you can't do the Ksiva before the Kabbalah Shavua. Anyway, what's she going to drink without a Ksiva? So he points out that there is Sugya, the Tosos on Yud Zayin, quotes from Yerushalmi, that it's a machlokas amoraim if they make the Mei Sota out of the Parsha Sota Ksuva B'Torah. Let's say they scrape off the letters that are written in the Torah to produce the Mei Sota. So will that work? Does that work as Mei Sota? Ooh, so then the Ksiva didn't even happen as a Ksiva L'Shem the Sota. The Ksiva was a Ksiva Sefer Torah. So you can have a Hechitimtza where you can't do the Ksiva afterwards, but if there's no after the Shavua, but if there was no, but if the Ksiva was already done, it could be that you have to tell me this that Achshel Tekabel Shavua, she can't be Mashka, she can't be Shosa Achshel Tekabel Shavua. He says, but it's just such an uncommon case. The Gemara would rather say Kedinas, but the Gemara would rather say, yeah, in a chinami, it's unnecessary to say that you can't be Mashka until she's Mekabel Shavua, because you can't even write it until she's Mekabel Shavua, assuming, because we're always going to assume that you are writing the parsha for this purpose. Okay, so that's the shita of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva in that brisa. Comes along the Gemara and says, "Maika Miflugi, what is the nekudas amachlokas between the Rabbanon in our Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon, whether the Ashka comes before the Akhtara or the Akhtara comes earlier?" So Tfasa Kraik Sivi. There are three psukim in the parsha of the Ashka Sasota. Vihishka Kama. There's the first Vihishka that the Torah mentions before it mentions the Haktara of the Kometz. Then Va'achar Yashka, where the Torah talks about after the Haktara of the Kometz. And then Vihishka Basra. And then the third time again after the Haktara of the Kometz. Rabbanan Savri, Vihishka Kama Lugufo. The Rabbanan hold that first time it says Vihishka, that's when she drinks before you actually Shemashka Va'acharkach Makrovitz Minchasa, that she drinks and then you Makrov the Mincha. And then the second pasuk Va'achar Yashka, that tells me that only after the Megillah is fully erased can she drink from the Mesota. But if it's not fully erased, if it's still Rishum HaNikar, then the Mesota is not ready for her yet. But it has nothing to do with Achar Yashka, is not in relation to when you bring the Korban Mincha. No, the Ashka happens before the Korban Mincha. It's just telling me V'achar, after the erasing, after it's fully erased. And then Hishka Basra tells me Shem Nimcha Ka Megillah Va'omeris Eini Shosa, that if the Megillah was erased and she refuses, then we force her to drink it anyway. Megillah's already been erased, so now you're going to have to drink this water. For Rabbi Shimon Savar, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, V'achar Yashke L'gufo. Of the three times it mentions drinking, only one of them mentions timing explicitly. And that is the second time it says V'achar Yashke, right after describing everything we did with the Korban Mincha. That has to be the one that's about the timing. So that's got to be after that Yamashka, after that Krava of the Korban Mincha. Vehishka Kama, what about the first time it says Vehishka? Shem Hishka V'acharka Chikrviz Mincha Sukshera. That's to tell me that B'dievet, it works. That B'dievet, if you were to do the Hashka'a before you do the Mincha, it would still be kosher. And then Vehishka Basra is to tell me Shem Nimcha Begila V'amra Enishosa, that if it's been erased and she says, I refuse to drink, then Ma'aronosa Mashkinosa Balkarcha. Then we force her to drink it anyway. So Rabbanan and the Rabbanan who do not learn like Rabbi Shimon, they'll say b'dieved, they'll pasach kra, that it can't be that the very first time it says v'hishka is a b'dieved. Meaning according to the way Rabbi Shimon is learning it, v'achar yashka is the second time. That's when they're telling me the right order. The first v'hishka is a b'dieved. The b'dieved, if you did it too early, it still works. The Rabbanan say it can't be that the first time the Torah mentions the drinking, it's talking about a b'dieved. No, the first time it's got to be talking about a lichadchila. So bottom line is, according to the Rabbanan, the first vihishka tells me the ikar din of hashka, that it needs to be before the korban mincha. V'achar yashka tells me that you have to erase the Megillah entirely to the point that it's ein rishum o'nikar. And then the last vihishka tells me that once it's erased, then she can't back out anymore, she needs to drink it. Rabbi Shimon learns that the first vihishka tells me that b'dieved, if you did the hashka yishka prior to the mincha, it's going to be kosher. The va'achar yishka tells me how it should be timed, that it should be after the mincha, and then the last yishka tells me that once it's been erased, we force her to drink it. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, and he holds that if you're mashka before the hakrava, it's not even kosher b'diavad. Right, Rabbi Akiva, who we had in the first brisa, agrees with Rabbi Shimon that the hashkah needs to be after the korban mincha, not like the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Akiva goes even further, and he says it must be afterwards. And if it's done before, it's going to be pasul. What does the first Vehishka teach me? That once they erase the Megillah, that we're mashkenosa bal karcha. So if that's what we learned from the first pasuk, that's what both Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan learned from the third pasuk. So he's in disagreement with Rabbi Shimon, and he holds that even if the Megillah is nimcha shalokadin before the Akhtara, we're still mashker. The Pasuk V'achar Yashka, according to Rabbi Kiva, tells me that you need to be mochik the Megillah to the point where it's ain rishum u'nikr. And the final V'hishka tells me the Ikar Din of Hashka'ah, that you need to be mashka after the Hakrava. Okay, so now, says the Gemara, let's go back to Shitas Rabbi Akiva for a second. Does Rabbi Akiva really hold that you're mashka the woman bal karcha? Rabbi Akiva learned that that's what the first V'hishka is about, that we're mashka or bal karcha, that even if she refuses, that we're still mashka her. V'savar Rabbi Akiva mashkan osa bal karcha, v'atanya Rabbi Yehuda omer, klabushal barzel, they would take a piece of barzel, matilin toch pia, and put it in her mouth, shim nimcha megillah v'yamra, and yishosa, because if the megillah was erased and she refuses to drink, ma'arin osa mashkan osa bal karcha, we force her to drink it anyway. But Amar Rabbi Akiva, Klum anu tzrichin elo lebotker. Rabbi Akiva says, well, what's the point of being mashker? It's just to see if she was guilty or not. Vahlo beduk of omedes. If she refuses to drink, she's guilty. So, you know, there's no point in shoving it down her throat. So, ela ad shlo karav hakometz yichol lelachzaba. Until the hakravas hakometz, she could still back out. Mishkarav hakometz yichol lelachzaba. It's only after hakravas hakometz that she can't back out and we're going to force it down her throat. But bottom line is that you see that Rabbi Akiva holds that we don't force it down her throat in this brisa. And yet the brisa that we quoted earlier, Rabbi Kiva said that we do force it down her throat, and that's what we learned from the pasuk. So which is it? So says Gemara, wait, this brisa that you just quoted, you're totally okay with? Even Mineu Bey, it's a stira, Ulu Taimeich, Tikshila Chigufa. Rabbi Kiva's shita in this brisa is not so clear at all. Because first Rabbi Kiva says, we would never be mashkar bal karcha. What's the point? She's guilty. Obviously, she's refusing. But then he says, Mishkar v'komets in yichal lachzaba. That once we're makar of the komets, mashkar bal karcha. What do you mean? You're Rabbi Akiva. You just said, Vala Baduk of Amedes. Your whole svara is that if she's refusing to drink, there's no point in giving her to drink because she's guilty. So why, once the komets is brought, once you mock through the komets, does that change all of a sudden? And now we're going to force her? So lo kasha, we'll answer both stiras, both the stira mineu bei in Shitas Rabbi Akiva and the stira from one brisa to the other. Ha dekadraba machmas ritita. That when Rabbi Akiva said that if you're already har of the comments, we're mashker bal karcha, that's where we see that she's trembling about the shtiyas hamayim. So you can't say that it's that her refusal to drink is an admission of guilt. She's nervous, and that's why she's refusing to drink. It's scary. The whole situation is scary. The whole context is scary. So in such a case, we're going to force her to drink because we still want to discover whether she's innocent or not. We don't know that she's guilty, but Vaha, when Rabbi Kiva says, nah, there's no point in being mashker, she's obviously guilty, she's refusing to drink, that's the Kahadra Bamachas Priyusa. That's if she's very calmly refusing to drink. If she's very calmly refusing to drink, then you know that she's guilty. That's an admission of guilt. Vahachi Kamar, and this is what Rabbi Kiva is saying, Kol Machmas Priyusa, Klal Klal Lo Shasya. If she's calmly refusing to drink, there's no point in giving her to drink, she's guilty. Machmas Priti, but if she's terrified, then ad shelo karav hakometz dakati lo imchuk megillah. If it's before there were makar of the komets, which means the megillah was not yet erased, because the zman of erasing the megillah is after the aktaras hakometz, inami imchuk megillah d'shelo kedin of a kran d'machki. Or maybe they did erase the megillah, but it was improper. They shouldn't have, because you're not supposed to erase the megillah until after that karav hakometz. Matzi adraba. Then she could be choser, because solo long as the Megillah is not erased, she could be chozer and say that she doesn't want to drink because we're not mashka a woman in Bal Karcha. But Misha Karva Kometz, the Bedina of it, Kwan de Machi. But once the Karva, it was ready Karva Kometz, and then they erased the Megillah, and they did it properly. They were supposed to erase the Megillah, and they had Lomatzi Yadriba. Then she can't be chozer anymore. We're going to force it down her throat because we assume that she had not yet admitted guilt because she's terrified. And that's why she's refusing to drink, only because she's terrified, but not because there's any sort of admission of guilt. So the question is, like, what do you do with what are the other Tanaim hold? Meaning Rabbi Akiva Svara, that if she's calm, doesn't that tell you that she's admitting guilt? Only, you know, why is she so calm if she's not admitting guilt? So Tosyantov points out, you don't know if she's calm. You know, like someone psyched her up before and said, never let him see you sweat. Just, you know, walk in with confidence. There are many situations where people are extremely nervous and they know how to fake it pretty well. So there's no real telling whether she's calm or not. So it turns out that if they erase the Megillah improperly before the Haktaras HaKometz, she could be chozer. So says Mara, well, Kasha Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva. Well, then it's a stira in Rabbi Akiva to the previous brisa, because Hasa Amar Mechika Ma'akva, because over there he said, Kol Zman, that they were not Mochik the Megillah, she's not going to drink Bal Karcha. Once they're Mochik the Megillah, even if they were not Maktir the Kometz, and therefore the Mechika was Shalok Kedin, we are Mashka her Bal Karcha, and she's not able to drink. Hacha Amar Kometz Ma'akev. But over here he says that the Kometz is Ma'akev, and so long as they were not Ma'akev of the Kometz, she could still be Chozer, even if they were Mochik the Megillah. So the steer of the Gemara is asking right now is, what if they were Mochik the Megillah improperly, too early? Can she still back out and say, look, I didn't tell you to erase the Megillah at the wrong time, I'm still allowed to back out? Or do we say, no, once the Megillah is erased, there's no backing out? So that's Trei Tanoi Valibid Rabbi Akiva. That's a stira within the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Ibayilahu on the third line. Everyone have a great day.